If I take what the world has offered, I have to come again, again and again. Just one drink of this living water, never thirst again.
On 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Welcome to An Islamic Point of View, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and the station. In light of the evolving situation with the coronavirus, and in guidance from the governor of the state of Oregon, the Juma and the Jama, so both the congregational on Friday and the five daily prayers, at MCCP, are temporarily being suspended. This is for the greater good of the community. In order to comply with social distancing, we are encouraging you to stay at home and pray at home. Please wash and sanitize your hands, refrain from handshakes, hugs. Say Assalamu Alaikum with your hand over your heart instead. It is a beautiful way to greet your brothers and sisters in this time. Please follow the Facebook page for the Muslim Community Center of Portland at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland. We will have regular updates coming on the page there, as well as an occasional live stream khutbah. Legitimate fear of contracting a sickness or spreading a sickness is a fully justified reason to stay home, according to Muslim scholars. We intend to abide by this counsel, the prophetic guidance from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to tie your camel and trust in Allah. And so, inshallah, please place all of your trust in Allah. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed our great protector. Much of the world is increasingly being gripped by fear, and so today we have a special message from Ustad Ihsan Alexander, which will share the importance of remaining rooted, anchored, sensible, and sane in the climate of concern and anxiety that we're finding ourselves in. Lecture here is entitled Fear versus Faith.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May peace and light, blessings and protection be with you and your loved ones. This is Ihsan, and we are now entering into a state of emergency throughout the United States, and pretty much I think for much of the world, as this pandemic is beginning to escalate and accelerate very quickly. I think that the reality is really beginning to manifest for most people that have to take this very seriously. So we're essentially in a state of emergency. Virtually everything here in the United States is beginning to get shut down. Just today, you know, recently they, of course, announced that universities will be closed, classes will be online. Now schools here in the state of Michigan have been closed. So this is escalating quite quickly, as to be expected. And one of the things that makes this pandemic, or this specific strain of the virus, this coronavirus, so particularly dangerous, is because it's got at least, you know, approximately a 4-day or so gestation period before symptoms are even evident. So within that amount of time, people can be infecting a lot of other people without even knowing that they're carrying the virus, and some people will be asymptomatic. And it looks like it has approximately a 4% mortality rate, particularly among those who are compromised in their immune systems, who are elderly. And the real danger here, right, aside from that, is that the medical system is going to become increasingly overwhelmed as this exponentially begins to increase and rise. That's the real threat, and that's why this has to be brought under control, because hospitals and medical facilities can only handle so many patients at a time. And there will be a certain percentage of those that will require, you know, emergency and crisis care. Not everybody will require that, but there is a percentage, and that will continue to exponentially increase as this virus spreads. So I actually thought it was essential and really necessary to touch on the subject, because we, as believers, as Muslims, number one, have already been given guidance in terms of how to deal with something like this. The Prophet ﷺ said, first and foremost, if you are in an area where there is some sort of outbreak, do not leave so that you don't spread that to other areas, and do not travel there. And so there is already this principle in terms of containment. Now that's obvious. Now the whole world is, you know, doing their best to begin, you know, making sure that, that this can be contained. But what I see happening is the fear that is arising out of this. And I think that's what needs to be addressed. As believers, as Muslims, and really as people of faith, any tradition, any religion, the essence of the way of the path is based in faith. And faith is fundamentally in a surrender to divine will. No matter how you approach the concept and the principle of faith from any tradition, ultimately it comes down to surrender to divine will. Right? That there is a creator, a divine, a force, a conscious will in control above and around, encompassing all of creation, the universe, our lives, and ultimately we are surrendered to that. We must surrender to that, and that brings peace, that brings serenity, that brings confidence that nothing can happen other than the will of the divine, the creator. Now, it is absolutely essential to not succumb to fear. And what is it anyway that people are so afraid of? Death? Is that the worst that can happen? Okay. If we believe, that's not something to fear. If it is destined, right? Nobody can increase or decrease the amount of time they have been destined for in this creation. Right? So if it is destined, this is a person's time, nothing can change that. Either the coronavirus or some other illness or some accident or anything. They must pass peacefully in their sleep. They pass peacefully in sajda if they're pious and believing people. Right? It's destined. So that's number one. Not something that can particularly be changed. Again, not to be taken to some sort of strange interpretation and extreme where we don't do everything we can to be responsible. But if it's destined, it is destined. Right? Tie your camel and trust in Allah. And I think more importantly, death is not something that the believer fears. How can we? There's no way for a believer to be afraid of death if they truly believe, if Iman really is in the heart. Right? Because every prophet, every messenger, every saint, every guide to humanity has reiterated this life is temporary. It is but a bridge. It is but a path. It is a journey from point A to point B, and everybody will attain, will reach to the end of this journey and then move on. The soul, the spirit, its journey continues beyond the body and the mind. And if one truly believes, that is our destiny. That's nothing to fear. That's in fact something to prepare for. I talk a lot about this. Death is something to prepare for, not to run from. If anything we are to be afraid of, it's to not live with honor. It's to not live with excellence. It's to have lived a compromised life due to fear. So you always have these two poles and extremes. right? You have these two juxtaposed poles of experience. On one side is fear, and on the other side is faith. Faith is the cure to fear, and fear is the lack of, it's the absence of faith. All of Islam, all of Aqidah, is to give a human being faith so that they become liberated from fear. And so it is reported that Sayyidina Ali, karamallahu wajhuhu, the nephew and son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, fear is the greatest sin. That's the root of all sin, fear. And that is the greatest sin. So as this global epidemic, this pandemic, is now really beginning to take over global consciousness, especially in the Western countries, in the Western world, we must be conscious of the state of our hearts. Right? Be prudent, be responsible, be, you know, cautious, be careful, do everything that is necessary and required to do to protect yourself, your family, your loved ones, but do not fear take root in your heart. There's a profound scene in a movie made by Mel Gibson, Apocalypto. It's about a tribe of indigenous peoples living in North America, and they experience, they're out hunting, a hunting party. They experience something that is frightening. They see another tribe passing through that has just been decimated and demolished by, I believe, it's been a long time since I've seen this film, by the Aztecs. So they've seen a tribe that's been demolished by the Aztecs. Their people killed, enslaved, you know, just destroyed. Their tribe has been destroyed. And that tribe is passing through the forest looking for a new place to live. And this hunting party comes across them, and they see their state and their condition. And the elder of this hunting party, the father, he recognizes this, and he gives them some of their catch, some of their kill, and then wishes them well, and they move on. And as they're going back to their own village, the father stops his son and he says to him, look, what did you see in their faces? I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but he says essentially they were carrying fear in their hearts. And he said, it is like a disease. It's like a real virus. He said, do not take that with you into the village, or it will infect everyone else. So that's the real disease. That's the real virus. And I remember when I was in the early days studying with my shuyukh, they would often speak, and I didn't get this in the beginning, it was a new concept to me, the diseases of the heart, the viruses and the contagions of the heart. They would often speak about this. And later I realized, okay, there's energetic diseases, spiritual diseases, psychic diseases that we carry in our hearts. And they would say that those are far more likely to be transmitted from human to human than any disease, than any virus, than any bacteria, because it's almost instantaneous. You can catch a disease just by looking into someone's eyes, especially fear. It's a disease. It's a disease of the heart, and faith is the cure. Fear is the absence of faith. It is the absence of light and that power of Allah Almighty, of the Creator, of the source of your being in the heart. That darkness that results in the absence of that, that is fear. It's a disconnection from the source of strength and light and power and protection and peace and safety and security of love. Right? Our strength, our stability, our power, our happiness, our true safety and security come from our connection to that which is beyond this plane. Creator, the source, the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God. And as much as humanity loses their connection with the Creator, the more they will succumb to fear. So despite the ease, the comfort, the endless abundance of technology, and the ease that we have life in nowadays, life was infinitely more dangerous in the past, throughout human history. But people are more afraid now than they ever have been in the history of the world. How does that work? Got to think about this. Why is that happening? Why are people more afraid now? Why are people more prone to anxiety, depression, to fear and worry consistently? It's chronic. Stress is killing people, even though we have more safety, more abundance than people have in the history of the world. It's very odd. You know, I had an uncle visit from overseas one time, and you know, they live in Afghanistan. Which is a very traditional culture. And he said, subhanAllah, you see people nowadays here, the fridge is full of food, the bank has abundant cash and money there. There's resources, there's reserves in the bank, but people are afraid, they can't sleep at night. They're eaten alive by stress and worry. Said in Afghanistan, you have people that don't even have a home. They may not even have food that they may have eaten breakfast. They don't know if they will eat at night, but they're not afraid. They have no fear. They simply, if you ask them anything, they say Allah will provide. And it's almost like, how could you even ask such a ridiculous question? Well, do you have food for later? It's like this concept that they're not relying on the Creator to provide. It's like, it's almost like an insult, or it's like a cultural taboo. Like it just, you know, they see that very clearly, right? That this is a question that lacks faith. It lacks belief. And what did Jesus alayhi salam say? He said, look at the birds, right? Do they worry for the morning, where their provision and their risk will come from? They leave their nest in the morning with their bellies empty, and they return in the evening with their bellies full. And he said, O son of man, how much more does your Creator care for you and love you, that you worry day and night about where your risk, where your sustenance is coming from for the next day? Yahoo, there are believers that would not live with anything in reserve, just to, because of their faith in God as the provider, as al-Razaq, and the generous provider. There was a man who every night would empty his home of anything, give it away, whether there was food, whether there was money, he would give it away to the poor, give it away to anybody that needed, and then he would sleep in peace, ready to leave, right? Based on the principle of being ready to meet your Lord and Creator, and having nothing left, no attachments left in this world, nothing for tomorrow. He would give everything away at night, sleep. One night he couldn't sleep. And he tried and tried. He looked around the house. He could see there was nothing in the house that might not have been given away. And he just kept trying to sleep, but he couldn't sleep. Finally, he asked his wife, is there anything here in the house that I can't find? Like, something is not letting me sleep. And she said, you know, we were actually given, somebody gave us a little bit of meat. They had slaughtered an animal, and they gave us a little bit of meat. So I just put it in this top shelf here. And then he found it and gave it away and was able to sleep and rest. That was his state. I'm not saying to live like that, because you can't live at a state that you are not at. That is a high level of faith. And wherever we're at, we have to step forward. We have to elevate our faith, our belief. That's what life is about. It's about developing really true belief ultimately. Every day is an opportunity to develop true belief. And this crisis, this epidemic, this pandemic is showing us our state and our condition. It's showing us the state and condition of our community, of the world, of people in general. And it's interesting that whenever there is a crisis, people who claim they don't believe in God and live their lives as such somehow tend to manage to turn towards faith in times of crisis. I'm not saying we're quite there yet with this pandemic or that it will lead to that, but you'll notice whenever there's a crisis, a real crisis and real fear, that's when people begin to pray. And I've seen it. People that have no faith, or don't live with faith, or look at people that have faith as, you know, simpletons and so on, I've seen them ask for prayers when there's a crisis, like the California wildfires, right? When their homes are being about to be destroyed and they're seeing chaos all around them, they see how frail and fragile our lives really are and what divine mercy has kept us up until this point. They ask, oh, please pray. Pray for us and pray for our families and pray for our home that we can get through this without anything terrible happening. People, faith is in the human heart. You can't extract it. All that can be done is veil it. And so things in this life come up to reveal to us our state and condition. And so I think the main point that I want to make is that this is an opportunity for us to realize, it's like a reality check for everyone, for humanity, right? And where are we in our relationship with truth and with reality? How much fear exists in our hearts? How much does fear govern our lives? Because the path of the believer ultimately is transcendence of fear. There's nothing to be afraid of, ultimately. But that can only be achieved by transcending the mind. The mind is based in fear. The heart, however, has a connection to eternity, to truth, to reality, and to light that enables it to live beyond fear, to experience existence beyond fear. It's also very interesting that this happens now at this time in the month of Rajab. Rajab, the Islamic month, the lunar month, after which is Shaban, and then Ramadan. Rajab, specifically, right, we're about halfway through Rajab now, or just over halfway through Rajab, where this epidemic began to really come out, was in Rajab. And Rajab is the month which is known as the month of seclusion. This is the time where shuyukh would often order their students into seclusion for 40 days up until the 10th day of Shaban for spiritual development. And it's very interesting that this is happening now in the month of Rajab, where almost what is happening and manifesting is almost a global seclusion. And this is, of course, one of the pillars of the spiritual path. One of the principles of the spiritual path is seclusion. Sheikh Abdul Khaliq al-Ghujdiwani, he spoke about this state of seclusion that one must carry within with themselves all the time. Seclusion amongst the crowd. Right? You always keep your heart with Allah, but outwardly with people. But for a period of time to actually go into seclusion, to really develop and train, to cut off from the rest of the world, to isolate and go inward, and to take a step, a quantum step forward in one's personal and spiritual development. So, interestingly enough, we are essentially finding the need now for everybody to go into seclusion. I honestly feel that this is preparation for what comes ahead in this world, because the way that the world is going, this video is going to be is tending to be a little bit longer than I would normally like, but you know, I think these things need to be said and emphasized and shared. The way the world is going, right, it is not, on the surface it may look like everything is great, but there are serious issues that are going to incur consequences for humanity. And the way that we are living in complete ghafla, complete heedlessness, and complete disconnect, Muslims, non-Muslims, everybody is living without faith. It is going to end. It is inevitable. This world will not continue the way people think it will continue. And if we, and I say this from the position of one who has been, alhamdulillah, blessed with Allah's light to have been guided to Islam, guided within Islam, or guided with Islam, we know from the teachings of the Prophet that this is, our time is finite. Not just our time individually, but that the length of this world is finite. And what is the benefit of a world, no matter how technologically advanced and evolved we become in that regard, if there is no faith? What is the point? It absolutely misses its purpose. But if we are disconnected from our source, our purpose, our time is limited. And things like this are a wake-up call for humanity and also preparation. So the fact that this is happening in Rajab, a time of seclusion, a time where we're meant to turn inward and focus on our relationship with our Lord and Creator, I don't think that it's simply coincidental. It's by divine will and by divine design, an opportunity for us to take advantage of this sacred time to really develop our faith. So one of the things that, really the thing that protects and heals and saves the heart from emotional instability, specifically from fear, is of course faith. But faith is cultivated with the remembrance of God, the remembrance of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرُ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ, that it is the remembrance of God, truly the remembrance of God, brings peace and contentment and serenity to the heart. So make dhikrullah. Make dhikrullah in abundance. Right? And remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not at this point doing so, begin some daily adhkar, some daily dhikr practice, some time alone, just breathing and meditating, calming yourself. Another fundamental, essential practice and discipline to learn to just breathe, relax, let go of stress, tension, fear, worry, anxiety, future. Get rooted and anchored in the present moment, because that's where faith is found. That's where the connection to the divine is found. It can only be experienced in the present moment. That is the doorway to the divine presence. And the more that we can surrender, that's essentially what we're talking about. That's what meditation is, that's what breathing is, that's what relaxing is. is surrender. Going back to the principle of surrender. That is the way. In Adina, in the law of Islam, the religion, the way, the path before God is Islam, which means surrender. So by physically relaxing and breathing, you actually begin to transcend fear. It physically leaves your body. Right? It surrenders, it dissipates. When there's fear in the mind, there will be tension in the body. So simply learning to relax by breathing and letting go. I breathe in Allah. And as you breathe out in your heart, just release, let go. It's a sacred divine dhikr, this infinite loop, which literally means Hu Allah, Hu Allah, Hu Allah. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a reference to the fundamental absolute reality of existence, of reality itself. But faith has to shift from the head to the heart. It can't just be an idea, it can't just be an ideology, it can't just be a belief system. It's got to be a state that can be, that is experienced, that is the reality in the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless, protect, support, guide, and lead you, myself, our entire ummah, our community, as many human beings as possible, towards the light, towards truth, towards peace, towards the connection with eternity, to your divine and eternal success. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar.
You have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today's lecture by Ustad Asan Alexander is entitled Coronavirus Pandemic, Fear versus Faith. An Islamic Point of View is a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland. You can listen to this program every Sunday at 8 a.m. To contribute to the Muslim Community Center of Portland, please go to mccpdx.org and click on Donate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all who contribute in this time. Thank you for listening. May the peace, love, and blessings of Allah be with you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
KBOO Portland.
Hello. Welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join us for a visit with leaders in personal and cultural transformation. This is Renee Beth Poindexter, sitting in for Pathways host Paul O'Brien. Today I have a fabulous guest, a man named Ridgely Goldsboro. He's written over 8 books in the past 5 years, and one of them we're going to talk about today. This book is called The Great Ones, A Business Fable, The Transformative Power of a Mentor. The other things that you need to know about Ridgely is that he started his first enterprise at the age of 16, and for the past 3 decades, he has created over 38 companies and 400 employees in 35 countries. This man is a mentor of mentors. Right now, he is helping organizations and clients with a message process that really is grounded in emotional intelligence, because 5 of the books he's written dealt with the topic emotional intelligence, and people need to know how to be more authentic in their message to attract people who are looking for them. So, Ridgely, I see you also went to, you have lawyer in your genes too.
I do.
And so you are just a master of so many trades, and you, as you summarize, your life's work is to expose men and women to excellence through personal development and a commitment to continuous growth in all areas, mental, spiritual, and physical. It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, thank you very much. My kids basically said, "Dad, you're just a geek." Okay. And so I embraced my geekness and decided that that's okay to be a geek and to be a continuous learner and to collect degrees or do whatever you can to continuously expand to the next level, whatever that looks like.
Fabulous. Well, along the way, you've been becoming this amazing mentor, and this book called The Great Ones, The Transformative Power of a Mentor, is what I want to focus on today. So it's such an inspiring story, and the way in which you tell it is really unique because it's almost like two books in one. Could you tell us about how you came up with the concept, and what were you trying to demonstrate by having the code of the great ones on the left side and the right side a fable of a young boy and an old man? What's the point of doing it that way?
I wish I could share with you that I had this brilliant inspiration that came divinely from above or something like that, but actually I was talking to Robert Allen, who wrote the One Minute Millionaire, and he did this. And I said, "Robert, can I use that idea? That's a great idea." And he said, "Yeah, sure." So the truth is, I have to give credit to Robert Allen. He was the one who gave me the idea. I thought it was a great idea to have the story, which is what captivates people, but then also take the lessons from the story and codify them in some way to make them more useful. So my reasoning behind it may not have been the same as Robert's, but it wasn't my original idea, Renee Beth, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay, but it really drives home the point. There's a lot of subtle messages there that what you're representing about the great